This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The question, if you didn't hear it, is will I pledge to have a woman running mate? I will have a woman running mate. To me, it's really clear that we do that.
Oh, it's really clear, obviously, that we do that. Why would it be clear to make sure that you check that box for a woman running mate? Because so that women like me will go, well, there's a chick on that ticket, so I have to vote for that. Clearly, because there's a woman. And since she's a woman, obviously she would think exactly the same way that I do. Very, very bizarre information there from Cory Booker that we heard today. And, here, Joe Biden, not really going down the same route. This is a spokesperson. Now it's not going to play. This happened last time. So
this is exactly what happened
exactly.
Last time.
I don't even know. Yeah, it's spinning.
Spinning.
So Joe Biden.
So it's going to play.
It will. I'm going to try to make this as smooth as I possibly can, like butter. Joe Biden's spokesperson comes out and says, of course, I'm not going to commit to having a woman as a running mate. Why would I commit to having a woman as a running mate? We just announced today that Joe Biden is running for president. How could I possibly commit today to suggesting that, yeah, I'm going to have a woman as my running mate? It doesn't make sense. The pandering for something like that is ridiculous.
Then Joe Biden, when it comes to this sort of attitude in some parts of the party about wanting somebody more progressive, wanting more diversity, do you think Joe Biden would commit to having a woman as his running mate?
That's presumptuous. We are not going to make any kind of commitments at this point. He just announced this morning that he's running for president.
Probably a realistic and smart approach there. Unlike one Cory Booker who says it's obvious that a female would be his running mate. At this point, I think it's pretty clear. Give me a break.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
So, very excited to have Tyrus on with us at Planet Tyrus on Twitter. Tyrus, thanks for coming on the show today.
Always a pleasure.
So, I don't know if you heard Cory Booker say that it's clear that he would have a woman as his running mate. If somebody said, well, obviously I'd have a black person running, or obviously I'd have a millennial running, or obviously I'd have a gay person running, like, how pandering is that, really?
I honestly think he literally sealed his fate.
Yeah.
Because no matter how you word that, it just doesn't jive. Makes no sense. We shouldn't still be living in the era where what your genetics are dictates you get the job. And that goes for men, women, color of your skin, all that stuff is irrelevant at this point. Like, we're to the point where at hearts and minds in this country where we got to start thinking smart and the best person for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I to say I'm 100% going to have a woman as a vice, I think, one, it's kind of disrespectful in a way, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to pick one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just give me any woman will do.
Yeah. I mean, this is what goes back to my issue with Cory Booker to begin with. I just don't feel his strength.
Mm-hmm.
I feel if I was going to compare him to a president, he's very Jimmy Carter-esque to me, where he's too nice and wants to appease everyone. And from what being a president, when you make a decision, you're going to offend 50% of the country every time you do something. I mean, it is a It is a thankless job. Somebody gets hurt with every decision you make. And a guy who panders and just wants to placate to whatever the temperature in the room is a guy I have an issue with. And that has nothing to do with him being a Democrat or Republican. I wish he would be stronger.
Yeah, but, you know, Donald Trump really sets the other end of that spectrum because he doesn't seem to placate or pander much to anyone. He just kind of puts it out there, and it's definitely taken getting used to from people who supported him from the very beginning to people who, you know, he was a clear choice for me over Hillary Clinton and has done some things since then that have made me, you know, excited to vote for him again in 2020 as of this point in time. But a lot of folks on the left right now in this Democratic primary kind of opened up my show saying, yeah, Joe Biden's in, but it's April of 2019. Like, this is going to be exhausting to go through this whole 18 months of the day-to-day ins and outs of this Democratic primary. I mean, something like this with Cory Booker saying, obviously, I have to have a woman in this identity politics game. Are the American people going to get sick of it?
Well, yeah, and I think not just sick of it, but I think the problem is it furthers division. It furthers the wrong conversation. Well, you have to hire her. She's a woman. You have to let Tyrus on your show. He's black. You know, like, you know, it gets to the point where it's a polite racism. It's a polite sexism. And I honestly do better with somebody who's direct and tells you exactly where they stand, because you never know, I might feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't see where it helps anyone. And also, I honestly don't think the Democratic Party is going to implode. Bernie said that. They need to split into two different parties. But the Biden, Bernie Sanders will not make it. Not because they don't deserve the opportunity, because they're going to be forced out by the whole, like, I can't believe we're still dealing with this. You know, like, you're a white man, you know? So now I guess, and some people are like, well, it's about time. But that's the wrong time, and that's the wrong message. To be an old white man means you shouldn't be president. I think we're walking in the wrong. So what, after let's say we have three African-American women presidents in a row, let's say, so then there must be no more African-American women as president. You know, like, I feel like it's the wrong. We're supposed to be a point where it's about content and character and merit. The best guy gets the job on an equal playing field.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the playing field's equal, the color of somebody's skin, their sexuality, and their gender should not be the issue. It should be policies, and are they strong? They have leadership skills. But that's not what we're going to see. And, you know, I just feel like they're just really setting the table for President Trump in terms of he's not going to be fazed by all this stuff. And he's going to pretty much, like, I hire people basically if I feel they get the job done or not, I don't care. And I think his history has proven that. Now, they're going to obviously attack him on some of his social issues and some of his moral judgments, but I don't think those things are going to move the country to their side of the street at all. I think if anything, especially, like, I don't care. I have a job. I have economies. I have the ability to get a different job.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to move where I want to. I have the ability to open a new business. Like, they're looking at things like that. They're not giving a damn, honestly, that he's politically correct or not. I think at this point, Americans we just want results.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. And, you know, that would be true equality if the things that we did have control over ourselves, like our brain, our thoughts, our policies, our positions, were what were valued and not just, you know, the package that it comes in. I wanted to ask you about the mayor of New York City and his you know, he's going to reshape New York City here.
We are going to introduce legislation to ban the glass and steel skyscrapers that have contributed so much to global warming. They have no place in our city or in our earth anymore.
It's hard to picture this as real life. We're going to ban skyscrapers in New York City. You know, one of the other big pillars of what we're seeing from a lot of the Democratic candidates in this primary is that strong push for the Green New Deal or a version of it. When you hear that de Blasio wants to ban skyscrapers, what's your reaction to that?
I think it all goes into, like, how you push it. First of all, there's no room in New York for new skyscrapers. So. Take it from me, somebody who literally walks around here.
Yeah.
If it's new technology, if it's more efficient, if it's better for the environment without it having anything to do with global warming or a political stance, then I'm for it. If it's technology improves over time, if we're looking at other cities around the world who have better energy efficient buildings or stuff that's more, I know, I want to say Singapore or Thailand, I know they have a lot of trees and stuff like that in their buildings. It looks good. It's good for the. It's good for like air quality and stuff like that. If that's the message, great. But you lose me as soon as it becomes a political issue. Are you doing it because this is your political stance, or are you doing it because you think it's going to improve the city? If you're going to improve the city, then a Democrat or Republican, independent, we'll all agree. Like, yeah, this is good for the city. Let's do it. But don't. Oh, we're banning this because it's bad. I mean, that just you lose me with that.
Yeah. I think there's so much information out there, too, that people can consume however much information from whatever sources that they want to, that some sort of bold statement like that from de Blasio or any of the other candidates for president, when they make a statement like that, it doesn't have as much lasting power, staying power as comments like that could have had in the past. You kind of get to check the box to say, yeah, you know, I was for some sort of green initiative. And I said, yeah, let's ban skyscrapers in New York City. You're like, it's almost as if they're doing it for the credit to be able to say that that was a position that they had. But, you know, what kind of accountability is there for candidates at this point in time, especially 18 months out of the actual election when it takes place? To adhere to any of these kinds of policies that they're throwing out there to try to, you know, pander for some of these votes?
I think that the service, I think the one Democrat, and I don't know if there's one in the pack who gets it or not, who will run a campaign based on trying to sell Americans on what their agenda is and what they want to do to better this country in their opinion, will by far be the best candidate, but he will never get off the ground because it's going to be the Democratic candidate who spends all his time attacking the president and pushing super left agendas. Like I'm a big huge supporter of the environment. By the way, I belong to the Dolphin Project. Like I'm all about it. I'm within reasonable, smart ways to improve our environment and stuff like that. I don't like the end of the world coming in 12 years and all that kind of things like that. Like, but to say like steel is bad, and this one, and to make those kind of comments is not necessary if you're trying to improve your city. But if you're trying to run for something or you're trying to build up against something, it's the wrong message. So, like I said, I think guess what he did, guys? Here's the thing about the President of the United States. We don't need to hear what he did. We literally see it every day.
Yeah.
We can make a decision about whether we want to vote for him or not based on the fact that he tweets. He's probably the most transparent. He's never off the news. So here's a just throw a bone out here at Democratic Party. Try when any one of the 7,000 candidates running, try to run on your own platform, and I wouldn't even mention his name other than when I had to debate him.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But what do I know?
Yeah. Well, we love hearing what you think. So we glad to have you on here this week. Look forward to talking to you again next week on Twitter at Planet Tyrus. Always great to speak with you, Tyrus.
Yes, thank you so much. I really look forward to this once a week.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a great week. Tyrus there at Planet Tyrus on Twitter, and always interested to get his take. It's not exactly the take that you would always expect to hear from somebody who comes from Fox News, and we love to include that here. All right, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay tuned. More Annie Fry Show on the way.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tony, do you ever pick your kids up from school?
Yep.
Do people, when you pick your kids up from school, do the adults dress in an appropriate way?
Oh.
Did you guys talk about this yesterday at all?
I've seen the story. And we did talk about it a little bit yesterday afternoon.
So a Houston high school principal has come under fire for implementing a dress code for parents.
Mm-hmm.
The new high school protocol will mean that parents will be turned away if they show up to school wearing pajamas, hair rollers, leggings, or certain other items of clothing, including bonnets.
Who's wearing a bonnet? Who is wearing a bonnet?
Nobody at this Houston high school. Also banned from school grounds are men wearing undershirts, parents wearing sagging pants or shorts, revealing tops, torn jeans, quote, showing lots of skin, and, quote, dresses that are up to your behind.
Wow, they must have had many issues.
The principal said no one can enter the building or be on school premises wearing a satin cap or bonnet on their head for any reason. You also cannot wear a shower cap of any kind in the building. So, she said, you are your child's first teacher. We must have high standards. What do you think about that?
I think the school can do what it wants to do. Now, if you go to pick up your kid and you're in your pajamas, they're not going to not give you your kid.
Why does it matter what you wear when you pick up your kid?
Get out of here as quick as you can.
So
they're saying people are dressing inappropriately as they pick up.
One of the things that was a reaction to it, Tamiko Miller is a mother of a student enrolled in the school, said that the move was discriminatory. She said, quote, I really think it was discriminatory. The language that was used, it was demeaning. I'm African-American. And if it's misty outside and I have a hair bonnet on, I don't see how that's anyone's business.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to make this a racial issue.
The
people
critics,
protesting it are trying to make this a racist thing more than a dress code censorship thing.
I don't know why. See, I could understand if you were coming to pick up your kid in a belly shirt and maybe short shorts that are very revealing, but someone coming to pick up their kid in hair rollers or even pajama pants, for that matter, like they're coming to pick up their kid. Why would that matter?
People wear leggings as pants all the time.
All the time. I don't.
My 8-year-old won't wear jeans. She'll only
wear
leggings.
Yeah.
She will not wear jeans. She complains.
It's a fad.
She hates them. She only wants to wear. Well, right now, all she wants to wear is shorts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on days like this, when it's too cold to wear shorts, I can bargain with her and she'll be okay with leggings.
40% of the students that attend this high school are African American, according to the Houston Independent School District. So I'm looking in this Fox News article. Is this a public school?
Yeah. Public schools can enforce dress codes.
Sure. But not with as much leeway, I wouldn't think, and criticism as a private school.
Right. And not usually on parents.
Yeah.
And I could also see if it was like, don't come to an orchestra performance or an assembly, or don't come have, you know, sometimes they have like lunch with your kid day, or, you know, grandparents day where the grandparents can come and have lunch with their kid. Don't show up to events inside the school dressed like this.
It's worth mentioning that the principal, Outley Brown, is African-American, took over as principal during the current school year, becoming the school's fourth principal in 5 years. Was previously the principal at a Houston elementary school that routinely met state academic standards and earned awards for performing above average. Also, comedian Ellen DeGeneres gave the principal a $100,000 check for her work in a homeless outreach program that she created. So if this is a old white guy principal implementing these rules, that's one thing. But if it's an African-American woman who's making these rules, does that change anything? Does it change the context of criticizing this as a racial,
racially motivated? I think it makes it more difficult for people protesting to
maybe
make
to
that,
argue it. Yeah.
To argue that.
But still, at the end of the day,
but they're still
going
to do it.
If I was a parent, I'd be like, well, if I get home at 3 o'clock and I get into my leggings or my pajamas because I got home from work and then I have to go pick up my kid at 4, I'm not going to go dress back in my suit. I'm going to stay in my leggings or my pajamas and go pick up my kid. I'm not a parent.
But are you going to walk into the school in your pajamas?
Because yeah, why not? I'm picking up the kid. I'm here for the kid. I'm picking them up.
You don't
we're
usually
go
get
home.
Out. You don't usually if it's at the end of the day school, you don't go. You don't.
There's a process.
There's a line.
They drive come through.
To, yeah, you never get out of your car.
You don't do it the wrong way. Right, yeah. Or
but
everybody,
if it's significant, like it's in a significant event, I would
see,
not
a,
be
because of my
pajamas.
Schedule. Obviously, I'm a dropper offer every day, and I have picked them up at school, but I normally I'm here at work, so I don't do very many of the pickups, but I'm a dropper offer. And man, if you mess up that line, if you make one wrong move, it's
what?
Not the teachers.
No idea, Katie.
Ooh, tell
it's not
me
the
about
teachers,
it.
It's the other parents. And I'm the same way.
I was a bus rider.
Don't
so
screw
I don't know.
This up. Pull all the way up. Be ready to go. Stop. Door opens. Kid gets out. Go.
Move.
When a kid gets out
And then they go walk around to the back seat, and they open up the back seat, and they get out their backpack, and then they're kind of shuffling around back there. And then
it's
they're
strict.
It's like, let's go. We got to move. There's too many people waiting. Big old line going down the hotter shell. Let's go.
Well, they only, you know, they'll only start receiving kids at a certain time. So you got to get from point A to point B in that time frame where you got to get your kid out of the car into school.
School. They open the doors at 8:40 and school starts at 8:50. So here's 500 people trying to drop off kids in a 10-minute window.
Yeah, woof.
314-241-9797. Sandy, thanks for calling the show.
Hi. Yeah, I was just letting them know that I work for a Hazelwood School District.
Uh-huh.
And I can understand because we have stood back and really thought, my God, we would never dress like this. They come in their pajamas,
mm-hmm.
house slippers, hair with wrapped up, you name it. Just never would you walk out like that. But they come in as if nothing's going on. Just they should be a dress code.
Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, I think there's something definitely
Hazelwood, baby.
Yeah,
love it.
There's I have worn my slippers in my car to go places, but like never, ever, ever would I dream of getting out where anybody would know that I was wearing slippers. I've also like gotten in my car if I need to go pick up food or something, and I'm going through a drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Jimmy John's that's really close.
Yeah,
and I will wear no shoes. I can be at Jimmy John's because they're freaky fast and back to my house in less than 5 minutes. And I will just jump in the car and not put shoes on. But I'm not like walking around like that. Nobody would, except for now, know that I would ever do that.
Right. I definitely have walked around in slippers. No joke.
Let's get to Bill's phone call here. 314-241-9797. Bill, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, I think Sandy kind of alluded to it a little bit of what I was going to say. I just think that these we're focusing on this policy, yet nobody's asking really why the policy was implemented. And clearly there was absolutely some issues going on here. And as kind of Sandy just alluded to, I think these parents are just a joke. They're coming in. They're not setting any kind of example whatsoever for their kids. I mean, if they're coming this way, then they clearly aren't going to hold their kids to any sort of standards when they go to school.
Mm. That's a great point.
Thank you for the call, Bill.
Great point, Bill, because this principal didn't just get to this school and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to implement a parents' dress code because that's my thing. There's obviously a long story behind why this was being implemented.
What kind of, to play devil's advocate, what kind of responsibility does a public school system have to tell the parents how to set examples for their own children?
That none, but they have, to enter their building.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, they have no right to tell a parent how to dress anywhere else, but they can enforce rules within their, on their campus.
The principal said, you are your child's first teacher. We must have high standards. Because there's a very, very, very fine line to walk. You know, I remember, I feel like it was like Hillary's campaign, if it wasn't Hillary, but I'm not going to pin this completely on her, was talking about how, like, children belong to us, not to their mm-hmm. parents, and how we as a collective need to raise the children in our community. And I'm like, whoa, hold that thought. No. I will raise my children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a principal agrees with the way I'm raising my children, they'll back off. But if they don't, when do they get to come in and start saying, no, this is not how this rolls? Now, to Tony's point, when you start walking in the building,
different
story. I would say now you're making an example to children who aren't your own children. If you want to pick up your kids in you know, a hair wrap, or, you know, like I put my hair up in a towel when I get out of a shower. Mm-hmm. If my hair was wet and I wanted to leave it in the towel,
or
and I want to come in my robe and my slippers to school, and my kids see me and they're like, Mom,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, yes, dear, what's going on? If that's what I want to do in the car, is that okay? But obviously walking into a building with, you know, not dressed to be in public, the school gets to say something about that. 314-241-9797. Tara, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie.
Hi, Tara.
I just wanted to comment. I've got kind of a two perspective. I get where she's talking about that students need to be dressing appropriately, not having their pants sagging below their butt or shorts up their butt, having low-cut tops, wearing inappropriate things to school. I completely understand that. As a senior in high school, I wore pajamas every Friday. That was just kind of my little stick.
Mm-hmm.
It was just
lots
what
of people did.
But I also understand what she's saying is that parents are kind of a role model. And as you have parents coming in, they're trying to impress upon kids to get ready for the workforce, get ready for life, and you need to dress appropriately. And if parents are constantly coming in, evidently it's been a really big problem, that you're not showing your kids the appropriate dress. Now, as a parent who works overnight, if my kid misses the bus and I have to drive my kid to school, I am not getting dressed in my work uniform to go drive my kid to school at 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. So I would have to walk in, sign my kid in, and they wouldn't let me in if I were down at the school. While I get that, I also understand that there has to be some kind of leeway or some kind of leniency per situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Tara, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Really interesting thoughts there. And understanding that this is not something, I mean, I'm going to be the first to say, I understand that there are racial undertones here. I think it's important to understand that the principal who put this into play is an African-American woman. Mm-hmm. But I have seen my fair share of being in, as a student, both parochial school and public school, and as a parent of children who have gone to both parochial schools and public schools. This is not just a one race thing. Let's keep talking about this. 314-241-9797. We've got one line open. Hold on the line if you're there. We will continue this conversation in just a minute. School dress code enforced in a Houston high school for the parents. Pretty crazy stuff. We'll talk about it more in just a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So a James Madison High School principal out of Houston, her name is Carlotta Outley Brown. She's an African-American woman principal, which is important only because she has implemented a dress code for parents. And in this dress code, the new high school protocol will mean that parents will be turned away if they show up to school wearing pajamas, hair rollers, leggings, or certain other types of clothing, including bonnets. And men are allowed to wear undershirts, parents wearing sagging pants or shorts, revealing tops, torn jeans, showing lots of skin, and dresses that are up to your behind. She says no one can enter the building or be on the school premises wearing a satin cap or bonnet on their head for any reason. You also cannot wear a shower cap of any kind in the building. So with some of those things that have been listed there, there's some criticism that this may be racially motivated. And, you know, as I said, the principal is an African-American woman. Does that make it not racially motivated? I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. Going back, I don't know what today's rules are.
Mm-hmm.
Probably everything I say offends somebody. But, you know, you're listening here to a school dress code implemented now for parents to be on school premises. And a lot of you want to weigh in on this. 314-241-9797. Let's go with Mark. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how you doing?
Good, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I grew up down there in Texas, and they take dress code very seriously, especially for the students.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to school down there, you couldn't have sagging pants, of course.
Yeah.
You always had to have a belt. Your pants had to be pulled up, shirt tail tucked in, collared shirt. Your hair couldn't be past your bottom earlobe, and you couldn't have an earring if you were a guy.
Yeah.
Girls, you know, were respectable dresses if you're going to wear a dress. You know, and same thing, same rules applied for them. And, you know, it's sad that an administrator has to implement a dress code for parents, and you would think that parents would learn to dress respectably in public.
Yeah. Yeah, we just don't really seem to have those same standards anymore, like personal appearance in general.
Yeah. And, you know, I was in the same school district as at Madison High School, and that's an all-black school. It's always been an all-black school. And
This article says it's 40% African-American.
Oh, they must have done some redistricting then. They like to do that every, like, 10, 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, if you're at 40% African-American in that school, that's a huge chunk of your student population.
Yeah.
And there's no way that school has always had an African American administrator. That school district, the whole school board has been African American or Hispanic. So to say it's racially motivated is just kind of a cop out kind of deal.
Yeah. Mark, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Interesting insight there from somebody who has been in that area. Mike, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, yeah, I just had a quick comment. I was listening to this on the Kilmeade show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The girl that was filling in for him was talking about this. And I just wanted to fill in a little bit of the background here that, you know, you guys were talking about why this was instituted. And they were saying this morning that it wasn't parents picking up and dropping off their kids from school. This was implemented for some parents that were going to registration for their kids at school. So
yeah, it talks about being on the premises of the school, inside the school, on the premises for whatever reason. The dress code is being implemented in the event that you are on the premises. These are the expectations that you have.
And you know, I guess picking up your kids from school or something like that, that's a little bit different. But if you're going in to sit down and talk to teachers and register your kids for school, yeah, I don't have a problem with the dress code.
Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. The principal, Brown, said no one can enter the building or be on the school premises wearing a satin cap or bonnet on their head for any reason. You also cannot wear a shower cap of any kind in the building. So these comments on this dress code are related to being on school grounds.
And not just for pickup. He's saying for any type of activity.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which I think is you know, it's all encompassing. It's not like they're carving out this one time.
Sure.
They're just saying, hey, if you're going to be here, this is how we expect you to be. Let's go to Dakota. Dakota, thanks for calling the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling to say that when I was in high school, a kid got picked up from school and his mom was wearing something that was very revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And teenage boys are merciless.
Yeah.
So, they were talking about his mom. Well, one went home and looked up on Facebook, and it turned out that she was a stripper. And that kid actually got transferred from schools because the kids were just brutal to this poor guy.
Yeah. Dakota, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I mean, if you're going to come to, I mean, I don't think that this is necessarily, I don't know that this is like just about being revealing in the sense of sexually revealing. It's more of a like, keep yourself up but together and presentable.
Yeah,
for public.
Yeah, put it together.
Yeah, and obviously the kids aren't going to be brutal.
Yeah,
if your mom's a stripper, and that gets out, I'm pretty sure that's going to follow you around for sure. Kevin, thanks for calling the show.
Annie, how's it going?
Good, Kevin.
I'm following the dots backwards on this one. The dress code may be more of a symptom of the problem. If they gave her resume, what would make someone leave a successful situation to come to what seems to be a problem? They've burned through several principals. I mean, it sounds like she has a record of success and that maybe she was tapped because we're not seeing what exactly is going on in this school. And she's come in and said, look, we're going to do it this way. My way is a winning way. We're going to, just do it a certain way. I can't imagine someone willingly wanting to take on a position that they burned through, what, 3 and 4 years, 4 and 4 years, something like that?
4 and 5 years. 4 principals at this school in 5 years.
So, obviously, she knows that she's walking into something. And I have to question, why would she be doing that unless they went to her or she said, look, I think I can help your situation and we're going to start from the top, bottom up, top down, and we're going to change things.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on a side note, I love that bumper track there on the intro. It always reminds me of A Bronx Tale, the movie. If you've ever seen it, it's a great one with Chaz Palminteri. Oh.
Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. One thing that I hear whenever people bring up the conversation of dress codes is a lot of people think that dress codes can be sexist. I mean, by making, traditionally speaking, women, the way women need to present themselves versus the way what you ask of men to present themselves might be a little more uncomfortable for women to adhere to that than men. But as a society as a whole, do we take any pride anymore in how we present ourselves to the general public?
Gosh, I don't think so. I would say a lot of girls my age, you would think maybe 10 years ago going to the gas station, going to QT and getting a drink, you'd still want to wear jeans or, and you'd wear not a nicer top, but you know, jeans and a t-shirt, and then that'd be okay. But now I think, as I just said before, that I've done, people are going to QT and they're in pajamas or sweatpants. They're in their slippers.
Is that
go
bad?
Grocery shopping that way.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Is going into a QT to get a soda when you went to get gas and you, or if, you know, if you went to work out and you had to get gas on the way home and you wanted to grab something to drink or.
No.
Is that a problem? Do we need to, like, as a whole society, reconfigure how we present ourselves? Or where does it go from
pajamas
here?
Pajamas is a little weird, but.
Situational. Yeah. I think, like, we're talking about now, like, I was under.
Workout clothes is.
I mean, but what is that's pajamas? Fine. Like, are we talking, like, matching flannels here? Or are we talking, like a nighty here? What's. I mean, right. What is the conversation? Because. PeopleofWalmart.com is a real thing.
Yes.
And you see people of Walmart in all stores, in all situations. It's certainly not just adherent to Walmart, for sure. But we don't collectively, as a society, value our personal presentation to public.
I believe that that's true.
Think about flying on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people used to get it, you know, nice and professional looking. You dress up to go on an airplane.
Hair done, makeup.
That is not everything. The way airplane travel goes anymore. It is probably more loungy than it is professionally presentable.
Workout clothes, like Tony said, have become very acceptable to just walk around and mill around and do whatever you'd like to do on them.
Even church. I mean, there are a lot of people who, you know, Tony, you said that at your church, you have people, like you said, you wear jeans at church and you'll have people like Gabe Pfeiffer who dresses to the nines. That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rumor on the street.
Mm.
Gabe's looking good at church.
We shot a video for the web, it's on our YouTube page.
I saw it.
Like 2 weeks ago at church, and a man is looking fly.
Gotta look good.
He is. But he's up on stage though. He's up there playing. He's a musician.
Yeah.
On the whatever you. What am I supposed to say?
I don't know. I've never been to your church. Maybe it's a stage.
Well, I don't know. The pulpit. I don't know.
He's
up there
in the front of the church.
He's one of the he's in the church band, and he sings, and so he's on display.
Mm-hmm.
So he's when you think always
look
looking good.
When you think traditionally about the way. You would present yourself in public in the way you absolutely would not present yourself in public. We don't have, there's no line drawn in any place anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been to weddings where the entire premise of the wedding is to dress down. And you show up in a dress, and including the bride, you're the only one there in a dress. It's kind of crazy. Times have changed. I wonder if they'll change back. 314-241-9797 if you want to call us. We're going to speak with Abby Johnson and the movie Unplanned next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.